If you're like me, you've always wanted diamond stud earrings, but the price and the fear of losing them has stopped you. Last Valentine's Day, this deal was so hot, it sold out midweek. Earrings for only $79. These earrings are made by Eden Pure's sister company, Lindenwold Fine Jewelers. This offer is only good for this week, and shipping is guaranteed before Mother's Day. Go to diamondxl.com and save $120 with code word GRACEDIAMOND. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Monday. We are live and we're excited to be here. It's Marathon Monday in Boston. So good luck to all the runners out there. It's a beautiful day. I don't know running wise if this is the kind of day you want, but I don't see anything wrong with it.
I think the runners like it to be a little cloudier, but generally good weather.
All right. Well, you know, beggars can't be choosers here. You gotta pick your battles. Congrats, though, to all of those people. I always find that amazing that people can do that. And there's so many good causes people are running for. I know Howie hates this day, but I'm going to come in here as a little ray of sunshine and say that it's a pretty huge feat to be able to do that. We have a lot of news to get to today. A lot of funny news. Joe Biden had the Easter roll today. That was really something else to watch. He was struggling. And Jill, Dr. Jill, she was in a bossy mood today. Bossy boots all the way. So we will get to that.
Dr. B.
But before we get to Dr. B, I want to talk a little bit about Elon Musk. Were you following it over the weekend, Jared, or did you just completely check out?
I saw some of it, but I generally completely checked out.
I was hooked on phonics. I love this entire saga. And I think that I was looking at some takes from like Matt Walsh, Glenn Greenwald, and it feels good to know that I'm not overreacting. You know how sometimes, Jared, there'll be like a story and I get super psyched up about it. I'll have you pull all this sound and I'll be talking about it. And the general consensus is like, yeah, people are following, but they're not, you know, it's not that big a deal. This is a huge deal. Beyond the fact that we're getting $43 billion worth of meltdowns from people like Max Boot and other people I'm not as familiar with, but they're all blue check marks. I've never heard of any of them, but they're all blue check marks. Beyond that,
that's how you know they're real, because you've never heard of them.
I've never heard of them. I oftentimes have to, you know what the problem is now? I go to their profiles to figure out who they are so that I could say, for instance, you know, CNN's reporter, blah, blah, blah. But now everyone's like independent journalists. Everyone has Substacks. And not hating on that, but it makes it tricky because it's like, okay, the only credential I can really give here is that you have a blue check mark on Twitter. I have a blue check mark on Twitter just to show you how meaningless it is. So, I mean, there's a lot of people with hot takes on this and they're all very upset. And I think that what the more serious people, at least in conservative circles, are saying is that this entire thing is really exposing how panicked the left, it really depends what you want to call it, the deep state, the swamp, how panicked they all are at the prospect of losing their jobs as the Ministry of Truth, the self-appointed Ministry of Truth. And we're going to get to that, but let me give you some actual updates about what happened. So on Friday when we left, we talked about how Twitter was going to pull, thank you, very official on this Monday, how Twitter was going to pull a poison pill effort to stop Musk's takeover of Twitter, his hostile takeover. By the way, if you look at how much money he was offering, what a sweet deal this would be for the shareholders. It's not very hostile. I said that to Howie on Friday. I said, if that's hostile, that count me in. If I'm going to make bank on something, it could be as hostile as you want. If that's as hostile as Elon Musk is going to get, I think they should be pretty happy. But I just want to give everyone the numbers one more time. Because if you're like me, it's a little bit of a new world, all this stock stuff. This reminds me, Jared, of like, I can't remember when it happened in relation to when the show started, but when the GameStop stuff started happening and I had to come on here and play trading expert for 10 minutes and I was exhausted.
Here's the stock manipulation.
I was like, I know we were talking about, you know, something yesterday, but now I'm an expert on the stocks and I tried my best. I'm sure my dad was like rolling his eyes thinking, oh my God, what is she talking about? But then I brought on someone later on. That's how I kind of feel about this Twitter stuff. It's a little tricky for me, but I can understand it if I break it down real simple. And here's a number that you don't have to be an expert to understand. Elon Musk's offer price, and I think this is very important to keep reminding people, he offered $54.20 per share. Now, that represents a 38% premium, this is according to Reuters, to Twitter's April 1st close. That is a good deal. 38% premium, that sounds like money, 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 money. And you don't have to be, you know, Bill Gates to figure that out. Now, what's happening now is that they're all petrified of Musk taking over. The Twitter employees are freaking out. They need a safe space. They needed it yesterday. And they're worried that Twitter's no longer going to offer them that safe space. If Elon Musk comes in, I'm sure that's like the first thing that's going to go.
My safe space.
But why are they so scared of this man, of Musk? And that is because he has voiced his opinion that he believes in the freedom of speech. Ye gods, the horror. And so now there are reports, including from the Post Millennial, which is one of my favorite outlets, that Musk is in talks with investors who could partner up with him and help him in his attempt to buy Twitter. And one of the names being floated is Silver Lake's Partners. And according to this report, they were considering co-investing with Musk in 2018 when he was considering taking Tesla private. So they have a little bit of a history with Musk. And so that is one option. But I think the most interesting part of this actually came from Musk's Twitter over the weekend, because he was really interacting with things. And that is the really cool part about social media. And we saw that with Donald Trump, is that you can interact directly. You can dispute narratives. You can bring your own facts to the table. And it is a public square if everything's working in the way that someone like Elon Musk wants it to work. So he was on Twitter over the weekend and he was expressing how he felt about things. And one thing he pointed out, which is very interesting, he said, wow, with Jack departing, that's Jack Dorsey. We have an update on him as well. He actually chimed in. He said, with Jack departing, the Twitter board collectively owns almost no shares. Objectively, their economic interests are simply not aligned with shareholders. Furthermore, and that was one tweet, but I thought the even better tweet was one that he replied to. So there's this guy, David Sachs, also investor. He's actually a co-founder of Kraft Ventures. And he tweeted out, and I thought that the fact that Elon Musk responded to this made me so happy. He said, if the game is fair, Elon will buy Twitter. If the game is rigged, there'll be some reason why he won't be able to. We're about to find out how deep the corruption goes. And that is why everyone is so tuned into this. Because we are about to see why or how far these people are willing to go to protect their fake news social media platform. And it's explosive and it's enlightening for people, for the American public to watch this unfold. How much money are these woke hipster doofuses at Twitter willing to burn to protect the fact that they are the Ministry of Truth? And we're going to find out. Now, Red State had another interesting point about this, and it kind of, I think, encompasses a lot of what I just said, but I wanted to read this. It says, it's Nick Arama from Red State. A lot of this stuff is on my recommended reading for the day, which everyone should check out at gracecurlyshow.com. Elon has shown the lengths to which people will go to stop freedom of speech on the platform. So he's already achieved a lot by shining a bright light on how afraid they are of a level playing field and not being able to control the narrative. If he gains control, we might just find out all of the behind-the-scenes info on how much things are jacked. No wonder they would fight tooth and nail not to have that happen. And Ben Weingarten, who's one of my favorite guests to have on the show. He is just, he's brilliant. And he also tweeted, when it comes to a Musk or a Trump or a Rogan, what the ruling class loathes is that they are traitors to their class, that they are wealthy and powerful, yet break from the regime and show it no fealty. They want everyone to conform lest their hold breaks. Now, I think that has a lot to do with this, is that you notice they don't mind if it's a Jeff Bezos. They don't mind if it's a Mark Zuckerberg, because they know those people believe in the ideology and it drives them nuts. The people like Trump or people like Rogan or people like Elon Musk, while they are rich, while they are powerful, they seem to have this bond with the unwashed boat people. You know, they seem to have this loyalty to people's freedoms instead of to Nancy Pelosi's cocktail parties. And that drives them crazy. And we're going to see over the course of the next couple days how crazy it drives them. This is like a version of Trump winning the 2016 election. It's a powerful person who is threatening their way of life, who is threatening the game they play. I always think of when they say, like, Trump knocked the House of Cards over. This is what this is. And when that happens, I mean, roll up your sleeves. It's about to get real entertaining. Beyond that, we are going to talk about Joe Biden. He was at the Easter education role. Am I reading that right?
Education role. Because Dr. Jill needs to make it about herself. Because I don't know if you know this, Grace, but she was a teacher.
She was a teacher.
Well, she is a teacher.
She talked about that today. She actually talked.
She brought it up casually.
She talked.
Eye roll.
More than egg roll, you mean. She talked more than Joe. Didn't you Very notice nice. That?
Oh, well, yeah, wouldn't you?
Hey, she talked for about 2 minutes, I think, and he
She's
talked
the
for...
president. Of course she did.
He talked for 30 seconds, and then after he was done talking, she said, wave.
Yeah, you could hear her. The way they did it, he was up, you know, they were up on the balcony there in the West Lawn or East Lawn or wherever it is, and, you know, he does his thing, and then, you know, robot claps, and she's like, wave.
Was the ghost there that he was shaking hands with the other day?
I don't know. I couldn't see it. It was a ghost. But I bet you the ghost was roaming around somewhere.
The ghost was probably participating in the egg hunt.
That's true. It would be difficult to find it.
It would be.
And then the best part, though, was when he was just like wandering around the lawn and the Easter Bunny had to corral him.
Can we talk about the Easter Bunnies for a second? Because I have to make mention. They have two Easter bunnies, and they use, like, the same costumes every year, which is good, saving us a buck. I'm glad they're not, you know, making new ones every single Easter. One of them is a national treasure. He has, and I remember when Trump used to speak, and they used to, like, do a still frame of this bunny behind Trump, and there was something so hilarious about it. He has a look of shock on his face, and it works perfectly with Joe as well, because I'm sure he's like, we went from that last guy who was a little bit out there to this guy. What is going on with these humans? Why don't they just have me do this thing? But if you've ever seen that bunny, he's got the little buck teeth and he's got just a look of sheer surprise on his face. He's the hero of the day, bar none. 844-500-4242. We'll be back. We're going to take your calls all day long. Like I said, we've got Ben Weingarten in the 1 o'clock. We've got Bill Broussard in the 2 o'clock. Really fun day planned. Lots of sound. John Harwood has an unbelievable piece where he talks about all of the things that Joe Biden, who is the leader of the free world, has no control of. And he actually uses one of my favorite lines that I always said as a joke. He calls Joe Biden a victim of circumstance. It's a beautiful thing. And we have poll numbers. We have Ilhan Omar in the news. Just tons and tons of stuff to get to. I'm so excited to be here. Another week of the show. Call in 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is Monday, and we have a poll question to bring you today. It is brought to you by the Law Office of Jeffrey Miller. Everyone can go through bad times, but that doesn't mean you're a bad person. Attorney Jeff Miller represents good people in bad times. You can reach him at MillerCriminalDefense.com. That's MillerCriminalDefense.com. Attorney Jeff Miller, reasonable doubt at a reasonable price. Jared, what's the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Will there be a recession during Joe Biden's presidency?
You know what? I've heard a lot of people wondering about this. Dagan McDowell, who is very good, she's on Fox a lot, said it, I think, either yesterday or today that she does think there will be one. She predicted it around New Year's. So I'm going to say yeah.
83% believe yes, there will be.
So we have a lot of polls to get to today. And a lot of people thought after Joe Biden's State of the Union, which was, according to the liberal media, the best speech ever. They thought that was going to give him a bump up in the polls, but it didn't. In fact, the polls are sinking lower and lower. And I was trying to think today, I had the song stuck in my head, and I was going back and forth with Jared, and I said, I want the song, How Low Can You Go? How Low Can You Go? And Jared, you said to me, I have no idea what that is. And
yes,
then
that is accurate.
Taylor and I were like, oh, it must be the Limbo song. No, it's actually from one of my favorite scenes. It's from the hand jive scene in Grease.
That explains why I had no idea what it was from. I am 100% anti-Grease.
If you tell me you've never seen Grease, Jared, morning, I'm going to.
I've seen it. That's Monday how I afternoon. Know I don't like it.
I sound like Kamala Harris. Monday morning, 12:30. It's
good morning. Monday morning.
How do you not love Danny Zuko? He's John Travolta in Grease is just the tops.
Okay, Joe. He's the Hell's Bells man.
Do
the
I
bee's
sound like
knees.
I'm aging myself? I sound like Joe Biden right now. Well, that's going to be
our
go-to.
He's a whiz bang of a kid. He's an arrow caller, I say.
How Low Can You Go, Jared, is going to be a new theme song for us whenever we have to.
How low can you go? How low?
Whenever we have to tackle Joe Biden's polls, because he can go lower. In the last three polls, this is from Byron York, one of my favorites from Washington Examiner. In the last three polls in the Real Clear Politics average of polls, Biden's job approval rating is 40%, 38%, and 35%. A few optimistic outliers show a job approval of 46%, and that's keeping his current average at about 40.4%. But the president's trend again seems downward. That has sent some Democrats into a new round of panic, fearing that a presidential job approval rating in the high 30s would surely mean a Republican House and Senate in the November midterm elections, which brings me to something else. I see this piece today in CNN. It's by John Harwood. I'm not going to read it yet. I'm saving it for the 12:30. You all deserve to hear this with plenty of time for you to weigh in on it. But he's talking about how there's nothing Joe Biden can do. He is just, as Stephen Miller put it, we are always failing Joe Biden. You know, if anything, it's our fault. He is just a man stuck in time who is a victim of circumstance. Everything is out of his control. And it's quite sad. But with that being said, it made me think, like, when is the point where everyone abandons ship? Because we're seeing a little bit. We have a clip from a woman from Time magazine. Yes, it's still running, apparently. She's on CNN, and she's talking about how people don't trust Joe Biden. They don't have confidence in Joe Biden. And so there are people turning. But then you have people like John Harwood, like the dead enders, who are still saying, this has nothing to do with Joe. When does he flip? I think everyone's holding out until the midterms, and then they're going to give up on this ship. It's sinking. 844-500-4242. We're going to talk about this when we come back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right, we have a lot to tackle. We had some late breaking news from the Easter. From the Easter education roll. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good. We have news from that. But before we get to that, I'm not going to let Joe Biden and his antics throw me off track here. I want to start with a piece from CNN. And it's by John Harwood, and it's really
good blood, kid.
It's something to behold. This level of making excuses for the president, running cover for the leader of the free world, it's more than I think any candidate, any politician could ever hope for. And I don't know if anyone's going to get this kind of treatment again, because it really is something else. So basically what John Harwood is trying to convince people is that Joe Biden has no control over all the things that are happening. He's just a man with a plan who is being foiled at every turn. He's actually the victim in all of this. And while it is easy to feel empathy for Joe Biden when it comes to his mental decline and the fact that his wife is trotting him out to the egg roll and telling him what he can and cannot do, it's hard to feel like his policies are not responsible for all of the issues that are happening across this country and really across the world. So let's hear John Harwood's take. The title of this piece is Biden, and luckily it's not on CNN Plus, so we didn't have to pay like $6.99. We got this totally for free, all right? The best things in life are free. Biden confronts a host of problems he can't do much to solve. I'm just going to read you the opening, and maybe a little bit of the end. There's just not much President Joe Biden can do about it. Now before I get into this, if this article makes you want to scream, feel free to do that on the show. Feel free to call in. We'll let you scream here on this beautiful Monday afternoon. It's 844-500-4242.
Loud noises!
We will be taking your calls on this. There's not much he can do to curb inflation. There's not much he can do to stop migrants from reaching America's southern border, or to reduce crime, or to make vaccine resistors get shots that would hasten the end of the coronavirus pandemic. There's not much he can do to compel cooperation from defectors within his thin Democratic congressional majorities. There is nothing at all he can do to compel it from Republican adversaries who would rather aggravate than alleviate his burdens. Oh, Republicans don't want to alleviate his burdens? We're pouncing and seizing and weaponizing on poor old Joe, on Amtrak Joey baby. It's not fair. In other words, there's not much Biden can do about the heaviest weights depressing his political standing, which has remained stuck in the avalanche warning zone for months. Marginal benefits represent the best they can hope for. Now, I am skipping around here for everybody's sake, because I care about my listeners. But let's skip to another part of this where he says other issues have made Biden the victim of circumstances, as presidents often find. You know who was never a victim of circumstance, even when he was spied on, even when he was colluded against? You know who was never, ever a victim of even one circumstance? Donald J. Trump. He was the villain of circumstance. He was
he who must not be named.
He was the Putin's puppet of circumstance. He was the Russian agent in chief of circumstance, but he was never the victim of circumstance. I can assure you of that much. Illegal immigration, which has paralyzed Congress and bedeviled chief executives for decades, presents the quintessential no-win problem. Even before he took office, Republicans blamed Biden for a border crisis over migrant flows that began increasing in 2020 under President Donald J. Trump. To the extent...
That is false.
To the extent that further increases resulted simply from trading Trump's harsh on immigrants profile for Biden's more congenial one, the incumbent can't change that. No, he can't change the fact that he's so decent and caring. He can't change his grandfathery whisper. It's what makes Joe Joe, for God's sakes. No joke.
Get vaccinated. I'm not the president.
Now, as the administration prepares to lift COVID restrictions on the border that health conditions no longer justify, I just want to add in here, John, just as a side note, just so you're aware, these health restrictions on the border are no longer justified, according to you and this magnificent masterpiece in CNN, and yet they're justified for preschoolers in New York City to wear masks and for people on airplanes. That was extended. I'm trying to make sense of this, because I don't think the two things can exist at once. All right, now, here's some solutions, though. See, John Harwood is a solutions guy, which I appreciate. He says Biden could receive political help from others. You know who he wants to help Joe Biden?
I'm going to guess Manchin and Sinema.
Ding, ding, ding. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia could finally deliver the decisive vote for parts of the president's stalled economic agenda. These people still want him to get Build Back Better off the ground. They're insane.
Build Back Better.
In this same piece by John Harwood, I believe, yeah, okay, ready? So he talks about inflation provides their strongest evidence. Liberal and conservative economists share a growing consensus that Biden's $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan last year pumped too much money into the economy. In the same piece, Harwood is saying, why doesn't Joe Manchin help him pass Build Back Better? Why doesn't he help him pump trillions of dollars more to the economy? Does it ever occur to these people that maybe Manchin's own political career is more important to him than saving their failed liberal, woke, progressive agenda? That maybe Manchin's like, no, I'm going to look out for me. Considering you guys follow me on my houseboat and you harass me everywhere I go and you all talk about me behind my back to reporters, you get more bees with honey. I think I'm good with Joe Biden. I don't think I'm going to step in here and help him pass something that I fundamentally disagree with. Joe Manchin does not think Build Back Better is a good solution. He talks about that all the time. And they still say, why doesn't Joe Manchin just help him do it? As if that would be the answer. The Federal Reserve, now John Harwood's not done. He's going to blame a lot of people here. The Federal Reserve, those lazy SOBs, they could raise interest rates skillfully enough to calm voters' inflation fears without precipitating a recession. The Supreme Court, this one is where he's really bending my logic here. The Supreme Court, by discarding the constitutional right to abortion, could jumpstart mobilization of Democratic voters. Okay, so now I'm going to put John Harwood on the side of he wants the Supreme Court to discard the constitutional right to abortion, as he put it, so that it will act as some sort of, dare I say, red meat for blue voters. Got it. Okay. An increasingly radicalized GOP could nominate unelectable candidates in pivotal Senate races. Oh, I'm sure he's praying for that every night. I'm sure John Harwood is just going, oh, please, please pick some unelectable candidates in some pivotal Senate races. Democratic candidates this fall could use campaign attacks to generate the sharp national contrast that presidents typically use to recover from midterm setbacks in their own reelection years. Trump's behavior, culminating in the deadly January 6th insurrection against American democracy, presents a unique political target. But history shows presidents can rarely change the political weather in midterm elections. Though the specific meteorological conditions change, the weather is nearly always bad. Okay. You know, Joe Biden can't change the rain, but he can learn to dance in it. That's how I would have summarized this piece. You can't change the weather, but you can dance in the rain, Joe. All right, so we have John Harwood. He's making this point, and it's catching on. You notice this, Jared. One person makes a point, and then it catches on like wildfire. And all of a sudden, you start hearing it on all these different networks. It's as if they all got together with Jen Psaki, and she just handed these out on note cards. So we have George Stephanopoulos and this woman, Maria Salinas, and they're talking about Joe Biden and how, again, shoulder shrug. He can't do much about inflation. Cut nine.
When it comes to inflation, there's not much the president can do about it.
There's not much that he can do about it, but at the same time, people's perception, and that's what's important. They look at the numbers, and it doesn't matter that we have low unemployment. It doesn't matter that the gas prices are beginning to go down a little bit. If the perception is things are more expensive, if when I go to the market, everything's more expensive, even if it does start to get a little bit better.
Wait, hold on. You know what I don't like about that, though? It's still the gaslighting tactic of, oh, it's just your perception that prices are higher. No. I know what, you know, the English muffins I used to buy before in the before times. I know what those cost and I know what they cost now. This isn't like a messaging issue. This isn't my perception. Oh, Grace, you know, you stupid Republican, you have the perception that things are more expensive. You don't realize that actually everything's better. It's not a perception issue. That's just me being able to see things with my own eyes, which I know is the bane of liberals' existence, because they'd really rather us just listen to John Harwood and George Stephanopoulos and go with that and ignore the receipt you're getting at the grocery store. But on CNN, you have Molly Ball, and she's a Time political correspondent. And listen to what she had to say about Joe Biden. Cut eight.
But I think the bigger problem for Biden is, just as Jordan was saying, people correctly perceive that he's not in control of the situation. And I think ever since that Afghanistan last summer, people have had, voters overall, have not had a sense of leadership from the White House, have not had a sense that there's a president in control who is.
All right, we can pause it there. We'll play that full cut later. But I wanted to hit on that because she mentions that people have the correct perception that Joe Biden's not in control. We talked about this on Friday when Jen Psaki was talking to the guys from Pod Save America. And she mentioned that, like, oh, Joe Biden would be ready to go to Ukraine. He loves fast cars. He loves aviators. But no, we're not sending him there. And she talked about him like he was a new puppy at the White House that they were trying to train. You know, like, oh, no. He's a fresh boy. We're not letting him go there. As if he makes no decisions at all. And then you have him today at the education role with Dr. Jill. And but we'll play the cuts of this. Let's just play one here. I want to play the one where she tells Joe to stay in his seat. This is Jill Biden and Jill Biden's husband at the Easter egg roll. This is cut seven.
Okay, just stay.
Say, Sally, just sit. Don't move. She's a teacher.
I'm the teacher, you know.
You're the teacher, you're the boss, you're the president, you're everything, Jill. And so she says, just stay, Jared, but we have to talk about something else with the listeners. And this is why you always want to tune in to the Grace Curley Show from 12 to 3, because I like to think that we get news no one else is paying attention to. We got to go back to the rabbit. I'm going to call the rabbit Roger Rabbit. And if you're wondering which one I'm referring to the one with a look of shock on his face. He has been running around this Easter egg roll trying to save Joe Biden from political gaffes. Every time Joe Biden gets near people and starts talking about things, starts taking any sort of questions, even talking to the kids, taking selfies, this bunny, and we've been watching all morning, runs in and tries to set up a pick. And he starts doing the airport arms, you know, flagging Joe Biden down, waving him in a certain direction. And at first we thought it was funny because Joe Biden was talking to a family and the rabbit runs in and starts pointing him like, oh, no, come over here. Join me over here. But then, Jared, you said that there was a point where Joe Biden was talking about Afghanistan.
Yes, this clip. So we saw the visual. He's talking. We think Easter Bunny's like, okay, he's wandering off, talking to kids. Let's go grab him. Easter Bunny knows. But this video just came out, and this is what it sounded like right before the Easter Bunny corralled Joe.
Pakistan should not, and Afghanistan should be.
All the Easter Bunny, Mr. President.
Here's my question, and I'm throwing this out to the listeners.
This was not the press. This was some random mother and a child. Birthing person and a child, I apologize.
I was going to say, whoa.
Birthing people.
Did you get your biologist license over the weekend? You know what my question is, Jared? We always talk. This is a recurring theme on this show, and on a lot of conservative shows. We say, who's really running this operation? Is it Jill? Is it Barack Obama? Is it Jen Psaki? After watching this morning, this Easter education roll, I'm worried that it's Mr. Rabbit. I'm worried that that rabbit might be the president of the United States.
I mean, the Easter Bunny did tell him to leave 25,000 troops on the ground in Afghanistan. I understand.
Jared, we might have to do a Scooby-Doo situation where we unmask this sucker and figure out who's calling the shots. I need to know,
Jared. Why, it's Old Man Klain, who ran the amusement park.
It's Jennifer Rubin. 844-500-4242. We'll be back with your calls. Who do you think is in this costume today? Who is telling Joe Biden what to do? Due to incredible demand, Eden Pure is extending the Diamond XL special until Sunday, April 24th. I'm really excited about this. I actually have them on today. I don't know if people will be able to see. They're pretty big, so you can probably see from the Rumble cam. If you're like me, you've always wanted diamond stud earrings, but the price and the fear of losing them has stopped you. Last Valentine's Day, this deal was so hot, it sold out midweek. So don't hesitate. I've had a lot of people ask me about these and where they can get them. Now, here's the trick. It's XL, diamondxl.com, but it's E-X-C-E-L. So it's not X and then L. It's XL. And you want to go there and you want to use code GRACEDIAMOND. You can get a 1 carat each, 1 carat making it a total of 2 for only $79. The quality is amazing. A regular diamond has 58 facets. The Diamond Excel has 106. This gives you more sparkle, more brilliance, and peace of mind because you're not worried about losing one of these diamonds. If you've ever had a real pair of diamond earrings, you know that it kind of takes the fun out of wearing them if you're so paranoid that one's going to fall out of your ear, a la Kim Kardashian in the ocean. So you want to try these. They're really great. I've had a lot of people reach out and ask me when the deal is coming back. And we had a long time in between before we had this deal again. So definitely jump on this. You have a choice between silver or gold vermeil. They come in a beautiful black velvet gift box. Don't forget, Mom, you'll be the favorite this Mother's Day. This offer is good for this week and shipping is guaranteed before Mother's Day. So go to DiamondXL.com, save $120 with code GRACEDIAMOND. Shipping is free. That's DiamondXL.com, code GRACEDIAMOND. We'll be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Okay, so I'm going to quickly read Brown Bear, so you're all not soaking wet.
And they're not going to let me read it all.
I'll let you, here, you can start us off. Can you,
can I read backwards?
Read the first page. Go ahead.
Brown Bear, what do you see? I see a bird looking at me. Now you got it.
Okay. Yellow duck, what do you see? I see a blue horse
looking at me.
Blue horse.
Hold on.
Oh, this is riveting stuff. We're good. They won't let me read. Who is they? Is it the bunny? Tell us, Joe. Joe, if it's the bunny, I want you to blink 3 times fast.
The bunnies are over there with sniper rifles like the Manchurian candidate, just making sure he stays on script.
Hey, but you know what's another thing, Jared, about this whole education role?
Just one thing?
Yeah, they had Jimmy Fallon there.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to like Jimmy Fallon. On SNL, which, by the way, we have an SNL story for later in the day about Elon Musk, because they're at it again, making so many hilarious jokes over at SNL. But I used to like Jimmy Fallon. Okay, I know he got into a lot of trouble when he was semi nice to Trump during an interview. Remember, he tousled his hair and that drove him all crazy. But he is at this event with Joe Biden, and it's pretty sad. Can I get a cut 4, please?
More than rainbows? More than dreams? More than 3 scoops of your favorite ice cream? Whoa. Now we're tired. I didn't write that for you, I swear. I promise I didn't plan this.
Oh, boy. This is weak stuff. We might as well play the SNL thing here because they were talking about...
Go get him!
They were talking about Elon Musk over the weekend. And listen to this joke by... Who's it by, Jared?
This is Michael Che.
Okay, so this is cut 14.
Elon Musk offered to buy Twitter for over $40 billion so he can loosen its free speech rules. That's how badly white guys want to use the N-word.
Loosen its free speech rules. I'm confused how people hear free speech and they think people want to use the N-word on Twitter. Like, where is the disconnect here? That's not what I think of. I think of maybe the New York Post being able to publish an article about the president's son, Hunter Biden, about his laptop that ended up being very true. I think people like Rand Paul being able to tweet about COVID and its origins. But I don't think about people wanting to use the N-word.
Racism. 844-500-4242.
A lot more to cover when we get back. Don't go anywhere.